Morning. Right, our reading this morning is Luke 1, verses 26 to 37, page 1026. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Amen.
Thank you, Brenda. In case you're wondering if we've forgotten the offering, we haven't. It's coming in the last two songs. I know sometimes in the service, things can easily skip by, but it's intentionally for the end, so you can prepare yourselves if you've come ready to give this morning. I don't know how you view Advent. I often view the Advent season as feeling like I'm on an aeroplane, and the captain, when it comes to the first Sunday in Advent, has just said, "Could you put your tray tables up? We're getting ready to land. Please, could you put everything in the overhead lockers? Because life is about to change." Because we don't do things normally around Christmas, do we? Everything has its changes, its routines, your preparations, and everything is just a little bit out of kilter. Well, certainly it is in my house. With two young girls, the temperature tends to go up in terms of excitement. And so Advent calendars and the Christmas tree. And of course, the biggest kid in the room is always me, as much as the kids. So I do everything to fuel the fire. I'll hold my hands up. I still confess, and I know I say it every year, but I still get up early, even though I'm getting on in years, as you can tell, the grey hair's coming. I'm still a big kid at heart. Well, as we look at the Advent season and as we're coming through this period, what we really wanted to do was look at the Christmas story and other parts of the Bible and take it through the lens of really asking ourselves, what does it mean to be a hero? Because there are many characters and different things that go on in the Christmas story and in the Bible that are heroic. And often we can sit there and say, "Well, I'm just me. I can't be, I'm not heroic. I'm not like a big sports person. I'm not a soldier who's fought for my country." And often we hold the example of a hero as an act, but easily skip over the characteristics that make people do heroic things. And when you look at the Bible, which is not a set of rules and regulations that you have to live by, and this is it, it's all laid out for you in a very dry, boring way, it's about ordinary people being challenged by God to do extraordinary things and in many respects making heroic choices. And God still asks you and I today to make those heroic choices. And we're going to learn through this whole period, we're going to learn how to deal with failure, as well as dealing with some of the things that God calls us into, and dealing with the hard-pressed moments when we have to really press in, when everything else just seems to be saying no. Like in this story with Mary, in one sense, it's that sort of, you enter that paradox, don't you? God is asking her to do the impossible thing, to go and fly in the face of everything that just seems impossible, yet Mary walks into it. And so I'm going to use her story, her life, that bit of passage, to look at her character traits that we see in this reading, in how we can prepare ourselves to respond well when God comes and knocks on our door and says, listen, I'm going to ask you to do something that goes against the grain. We're going to look at what it means to be a paradoxical hero this morning. And a paradox, in case you're wondering what that means, is a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition, like you're going to give birth to the Son of God, but that when it's investigated or explained, may prove itself or be found to be true. It's in the notes if you haven't got it. But think about Mary in our scenario this morning. Think about her situation. Here is a young woman, minding her own business, every ordinary day life, doing the tasks that she does, that she does as part of her culture. You think about her family situation, you think about the lifestyle she lives. She would most likely to be uneducated. There would be no forms of social mobility. She's not going to go to school and lift herself from a working class background and actually let me go and work for a big company and I'll go and move through the classes and I'll make something, I'll change my life. No way. She won't be sitting there mending her dress and dreaming, oh, I can't wait until I go to university, take a gap year or something and just go around and sail the Caribbean. It's not going to happen. Her life, her situation, where she is, and where God is going to turn up, is very boxed in. Has very strong parameters around it in terms of what her life is like. I wonder what your life is like today. Before the angel, before God as the Holy Spirit turns up and prompts you to do something, I wonder what picture your life is today. The thing I love about this story and how it speaks to you and I is that God notices Mary. You think as someone, as a young woman, so incidental, so sort of just going about her day-to-day life, nothing special, everything really ordinary, yet God notices her. God turns up. Do you know God notices you this morning? You know, if you feel overlooked, if you feel lonely, if you feel like, you know, no one really cares about me. Actually, this story starts off in that strong image of saying, no, I see you. God says, I see you. I see you, and I'm still going to knock on your door. I still want you to do those heroic things. But what are you going to do when God does knock on your door? And I want to give out four principles that we can learn from this story, that we can move on, that we can make that step of faith when God asks us to do things that are outside our boxes. And here's the first point this morning. The first step to being a paradoxical hero when God is calling us to come out of our comfort zones is choosing to see yourself as God sees you. Think about God's message through Gabriel that comes to Mary. Think about the opening lines that are immediately thrust upon her. You who are highly favored. You who are blessed by me. You who I see. And Mary, even in that reading, says, I wonder what sort of greeting this is. And immediately it's God coming into the scene and saying, this is how I see you. And it transforms the whole situation. Because in reality, when we see ourselves, when we look at ourselves, we don't have the possibilities. We don't have the means to come outside of ourselves and say, well, this is who I am. You're limited. You can't suddenly morph out and say, well, this is my life, and I'm looking at it at the same time as it's happening. It doesn't work. You only have a certain perspective of who you are, and you have some idea of the things you do, but ultimately how you come across, how you interact with other people, you don't know. You don't see, unless someone follows you around with a video camera the whole time. Maybe if you're a Scientologist, if you've ever seen Louis Theroux and the Scientology guys as they're filming him, you might have that. But it's just weird, isn't it? No one does that. You might have a friend who comes and raises the bar as you think of yourself, well, I'm like this, but often you only have a certain measure of expectation. Friends come along and they might raise the bar and say, you're really good at this, and actually you might need to work on that a little bit. And that's a good thing, but still your expectations are measured by others that might be a little bit true, might be a little bit false. But when God comes into the scene, God gives you the picture and says, this is how I see you. You have someone who has the ability from outside of yourself and the world who is true to themselves, whose character is wholly honest, wholly good, wholly shaped to your best. And when he says, this is how I see you, this is what you are, it changes that whole perspective around. It's something that I can hold on to, that actually, if this is how God sees me, then it is transformative. And some of us, in raising the bar of expectation of God moving in our lives, as stepping into that faith, need to step into the things that we know God says about us. Because if we don't, we self-imprison. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't have the time. But when God comes in and shapes that perspective, it changes, it bursts the box. And for some of us this morning, I felt really impressed that actually sometimes we need to stare in the mirror. We need to look and say to ourselves some of the promises of God that he says to us, the things that he has spoken about us that are true, to break that prison. Next slide, please. And here are some of the things that I want to encourage you with from Scripture, that you can speak to yourself that changes that image. Look, 2 Corinthians 2:14 on the screen, I am led by God in triumphal procession. What an amazing picture. I am led by God in triumphal procession. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing that comes from Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. That God in his goodness to me and you, for those of us that accept and come into that relationship with God, are given every spiritual blessing. I am capable. Philippians 4:13. When God asks you to do something, calls you to maybe go and step outside of what is the norms of your life and your routine. Maybe God puts a prophetic word on you. Maybe there's a scripture that comes to you and God says on Sunday morning, I want you to hold that in your heart and I'm going to show you who you're going to speak that to. And you say, oh, I can't do that. That's just strange. I can't interrupt someone, or I'm just scared. Philippians 4:13, I am capable. The second aspect this morning, as we look at this story and we see Mary's interaction, we learn that heroes believe in the impossible. They believe that they can do the impossible with God. Look at Mary's answer in verse 34 in this passage when Gabriel tells her the story, tells her what's going to happen. And she just says, well, how can this be? It's an answer in faith, not a question in doubt. She doesn't sit there and say, oh, how can this, oh, this is rubbish, Lord. How can this be? I don't get it. No, you're crazy. There's already a measure of acceptance in what she's heard. And she says, okay, how? Unravel it for me. Faith as a Christian this morning is about seeing things from God's perspective, about putting ourselves in his shoes and letting that change the way we look. I've been playing around with these 360 VR goggles. that you put your phone in, and it does this. It's very funny. I took it into the office, and it's hilarious because you put your mobile phone in there, and someone has got a 360 camera, and literally through these goggles, you turn around like this, and someone has done like a picture of underwater swimming with the sharks. And it's hilarious because you're sort of looking at one bit, and then you say to people, no, turn around, and you can see things behind you. And then people turn around, oh, okay, there's a shark that comes across out of nowhere. There's something swimming all around me. And it's funny because you see people go like this. You know, the perspective is like it's coming out, and they're sort of going, trying to reach beyond the goggles. But isn't it the same with faith when you see things beyond your perspective, when you turn around and you open it up, that you begin to reach for things that are beyond what you see? Faith challenges us to do things that we don't like. When we see things from God's perspective, it's not about, actually, does this make me feel good? I know, I've been in those situations, I know other people where God has told them, listen, take the money out of your wallet and go and give it to someone. Do you think that people like doing that? My hard-earned cash, those my savings, the things that I've earned that I want to spend my money on. But you don't see. But yet God does, and that's what we step into, the unknown, the plan, the purposes of God that go beyond what is possible. Ephesians 3, a great verse in the message that I think just encourages us this morning along those lines. It says there on the screen, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply, gently. Within us. Third point this morning, as we think about these principles that we learn through Mary's encounter, is that heroes want a miracle for others more than for themselves. Heroes want a miracle more for others than for themselves. You know, when we look at that passage and we look at Mary and we look at what she's saying and what she's doing. What happens after this is she comes down and she has an encounter with, we heard about her cousin Elizabeth who has a baby, and so she comes back and she comes and meets her. And in Luke, in those verses underneath, after that encounter with Gabriel, it says, at that time Mary got ready and hurried down to the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Look how Mary handles the response in the Magnificat after this. Because when Elizabeth ushers those words over her, she doesn't sit there and say, "Yes, oh, I'm so blessed. Oh, look at me. Lord has chosen me. Yes, yes, keep lavishing the praise on me. Aren't I great? Isn't it wonderful that God is doing a miracle through me and not you? Isn't it great that I am so highly favored?" That's what he said over me. Did you hear that? He said to me, "I'm highly favored. I'm so special." Did he say that to you, Elizabeth? Oh, no. He said that to me. "I'm highly favored. I'm so good." No. What she says is, when she responds, she holds in healthy tension the recognition that actually God has blessed her and is moving through her in that song, but also she sees it in the wider purpose as well. Because when we don't see the wider purpose of what God is using us for, and we make it all about us, we end up crushing other people. We rob them of their self-worth because we say it's all about me and you haven't got what I've got. And that squashes people. And yet the good news of Jesus is the gospel doesn't squash people. It elevates, it raises up, seated at the right hand of God. And Mary, in this tension, holds this upward perspective and deals with this inward glance that actually sometimes we can all be guilty of finding self-praise. And she does it by recognizing. She says, listen, in her song, she says, I am a humble servant, but God in his mercy came to me. He elevated me. He rescued me. He lifted me up. And yes, I will be blessed for generations, but because of him. And as in that blessing and in the salvation that comes through what is going on, so everyone else will be blessed. The promises of Abraham will be fulfilled. Israel will be rescued. She sees it in the whole context of what is going on in the story of Scripture. When God blesses us, do we see the bigger picture? Do we look from praise for others more than giving praise to God? We like to have praise from other people. We like that sense of affirmation. And sometimes, you know, it's okay to recognize that, yes, people do good jobs. And it does feel nice. But it's not the be-all and end-all. We point it in the right direction. And that's what Mary encourages us to do. That in the miracle, when we step out in faith, when God moves and we step into the impossible, we know our place. Lastly, in number four. Heroes stay in faith when everyone else seeks to give up. Heroes stay in faith when everyone else says there's no way. It's one thing in this picture as we look and in our lives to think about God's plan, and he sits there and calls us into stepping out into the unknown or the known that it just seems so impossible. But it's another thing to live through it. It's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to step into it. You think about how many times Mary in her life, as she journeyed to birth and even after birth, faced challenges. Think about the whole moving from her original home and being sent to go to Bethlehem whilst pregnant. The transition and the journey that takes. Think about the time of the persecution when Herod was after killing the babies when he found out. The fleeing off to Egypt. I wonder if at that time she just expressed doubt. She said, well, Lord, is this real? Is it really going to happen? But heroes stay the course of faith. And I think this is a challenging part, the hard part in following God, in staying that course. Because often if we've had experiences where we've tried to stay the course and we've got it wrong, we get burnt and we don't want to go back again. But on these occasions, and when we think about what it means to be a hero in staying the course, we need to shake off the false identity of what it means to be a hero. Most of us, when we talk and we look in the movies and we think about the hero, we think, yeah, Superman, he can go in against it. He's a one-man soldier. Off he flies, off in against the odds. Look at him go. Great, he rescues the world. When we think of Jackie Pullinger, we think, wow, she goes on a boat, she goes off to China. Isn't she amazing? Yes, she is, but do you know what? It's not the norm. Most people, if you look at Superman, Lois Lane is always there. He needs someone around him. Edmund Hillary, when he climbed Everest, he didn't do it on his own. He had a Sherpa with him, Tenzing Norgay. And this is the true thing of being a hero who stays the course is someone who doesn't go it alone. Who invites into the process other people to encourage, to challenge, and to stir up faith together. Think about this from Galatians 6 verse 9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Doing good to yourself, doing good to others, sometimes means being vulnerable. Inviting people into the process of your fears and the things of your deepest challenges when it comes to stepping out in faith, journeying in faith, going into the impossible areas of faith. And here is probably the greatest paradox for us as English people or in this culture, because we don't want to be vulnerable. We struggle to sit there and open up, whether in home groups or over in the coffee. We're highly selective in actually being honest with people about our challenges of faith, about the things that we need encouragement doing. And yet when we do it, it is freeing, it is powerful. God moves in amazing ways when we're open and honest. It is probably our greatest, one of the paradoxes we deal with, actually, when you think about being a hero. It seems absurd. It seems crazy. I need to open up my life. I need to lay everything out there of what I'm thinking and feeling and how I'm really honest with where I'm at in this situation with God. I don't want to, thank you. I want to keep myself controlled. I want to keep it all in. I want to safeguard me. But yet when you investigate it and when you look at it, you know it to be the most truing and freeing aspect in life, that when you find someone, when there's someone you trust that you can sit down with, it is life-giving. That's how, in the face of things, we don't give up. It's one of the elements we need to think about. Yes, we hold on in faith in God. We listen to his voice, but we do that together. We do that with others. So let's just recap on what it means to be a paradoxical hero when God asks us to do the impossible. How do we step into that, keep going into it? Well, there were four things. The first one was choosing to see yourself as God sees you. The second one on the screen, heroes believe God can do the impossible. Thirdly, heroes want a miracle for others more than themselves. And lastly, heroes stay in faith when everyone else says there is no way. Stay in faith through vulnerability, figuring that out together, and what it means to have a relationship with God, listening to his voice, journeying. I pray that as God interrupts your life, and I do pray that with all seriousness, that as the Holy Spirit comes, as you minister and open up yourself to what he can do in your life, I pray that you would step into the plan and the purposes of what God has called us in our lives to do the things, the supernatural things, to go break the boundaries in small but significant ways in our everyday life. I pray that blessing upon you. Amen.